This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Back at the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. He is our ears and eyes for Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. The great Dennis Bernstein from thefourthperiod.com. Dennis, flexible with his schedule as well. Sorry, Dennis. I mean, the playmaker got booked after we booked you. Thank you for being flexible, and thanks for taking our call, even though we moved your appearance time.
Yeah, well, it was either this or a nap, so I figured I'd help you guys out by moving my nap 20 minutes.
Up. That's good.
It's good to talk to you. Let's do this. Game 7. Come on.
Dennis, do you anticipate that you're going to need that nap? Is this game going to go to overtime, or are we going to have a late night tonight?
Guys, I do. It's going to be a tight game. I like the Bruins in a close game. It would not shock me if this is a 3-2 overtime winner, and we're still playing hockey at 11:30 or so tonight. So yeah, I do. I don't think this is going to be a blowout because look, the Blues had an opportunity. They were set up, guys, to win Game 6. Everybody was there. There's 50,000 people in the park across the street. They were going to break the jinx of never winning a Stanley Cup. They had it within their grasp. And you know, bad bounce on that second goal for Jordan Binnington, and now we're back at Game 7. So, yeah, I think this is a tight one. They're going to empty the tank. There's nothing left after tonight. This is the last game of the season, guys. So, yeah, I think we're going to have a tight game like we saw earlier in the season.
I mean, if I have just the two goaltenders, Binnington's been nice, but Tuukka Rask, a .973 save percentage in elimination games.
Yeah.
I mean, what makes him great? And if you're the Blues, I mean, gosh, what do you do other than just try to take a shot from every angle tonight?
Yeah, that's what they have to do, and he's been great. His focus has been amazing in some of those saves behind his back. Even the goal that Ryan O'Reilly scored in Game 6, it was an inch over the line, so Tuukka's been amazing. And there's been a lot of talk if the Blues win and Ryan O'Reilly has a good game, that he's he'll be the Conn Smythe winner, who's the MVP of the playoffs. I'm sorry. Clearly, the best player in this playoff is Tuukka Rask, without question. Right. So if you want to not lean towards him because the Bruins lose tonight, I get it. I understand the politics of voting, but he's clearly been that. And look, last game, Blues had power play opportunities. They had 12 power play shots that would click Bergby instead, but they weren't getting second and third chances. You're not going to beat Tuukka. He's so sharp right now on the first shot. You're just simply not going to do it. So they have to get more traffic in front, more rebound opportunities. And the Bruins, what do they do great? They're great at boxing. It's like basketball. They're great at boxing out the other team. And that's what happened in Game 6. That's why we have a Game 7. So the Blues are going to have to go to the net. They have to go to the net hard. And they're going to have to bring back that physical presence that wasn't there in Game 6. And, you know, Bruce Cassidy, I've not been in love with Bruce and what he said about the referees earlier in the series. But I will give him credit for saying one thing. Maybe Game 6, maybe something that was too big a spotlight for a Blues team that really doesn't have a lot of experience. And it slipped from their grasp. And now all the momentum, all the intangibles are now back in Boston. With a Game 7. And guys, I can't see the Bruins losing 3 home games in the series. To me, that's the kind of the defining moment for me when I try to look at and analyze this game. I think it's a close game, a tight game. If the Blues can get to the net and get those second and third chances, then it's been a real good chance of winning the game tonight.
Dennis Bernstein, thefourthperiod.com, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. I want to talk about Chara for a second because I think there's a large faction of sports fans that just can't believe that this guy's putting himself more at risk than he is, you know, by going out there. Yet, this is hockey. This didn't surprise me at all. What has it meant to have him back on the ice for the Bruins after that broken jaw incident earlier in the series?
There's a word that they're using in the entire locker room right now, and it's leadership in the Boston room. Right? I mean, not only Chara, but supposedly Patrice Bergeron stood up in the room before Game 6, gave a speech. Everybody wanted to run through a wall after that speech. That's what leadership is, knowing that your guy has a broken jaw. He's putting on basically a football helmet to protect himself and playing 21 minutes in Game 6. You know, Game 5, you pack the helmet on. It's got to be tough. Right? I mean, 2 days of off a broken jaw. Couldn't see the puck, but then they adjusted. And if you look at the time on ice, he went from 16 to 21. So I got to assume that Z's going to play 22, 23 minutes tonight. Look, these players are a different breed. It's a different sport. These guys don't care. It's like the guy has a broken jaw. I guess you could rent it again if it was another bad shot, but these guys don't know any differently. They want to win the Stanley Cup. That's how important it is. It's about being with your teammates in the room trying to win a trophy that this team hasn't won in 8 years. So, it doesn't shock me that these there, but if you guys know the sport, these players at this level are just a different breed. It's not shocking me that he's playing the last couple of games. It wouldn't shock me if he played 23 minutes to play great.
Dennis Bernstein from the Fourth Period, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Dennis, in Buffalo, Rochester here, we've had some revisionist history, some looking back here about Ryan O'Reilly, the way it ended in Buffalo. And some people are going to be upset, and some people do think that Jason Bottrell maybe didn't get enough of in return for that trade. Dennis, if I had to kind of, draw an analogy, well, here is Ryan O'Reilly at locker cleanout last year from the Buffalo Sabres.
I feel throughout the year I've lost the love of the game multiple times and just, I need to get back to it because it's eating myself up, and you can see other guys too. It's eating us up, and it's tough.
That's Ryan O'Reilly this time last year, essentially, April of 2018. Dennis, if I could draw an analogy, it's if you get a divorce and your ex-wife finds happiness later, you can't be upset that it didn't work here. Your thoughts on Ryan O'Reilly leaving Buffalo, and did Jason Bottrell get enough in return in that trade?
One of the guys quit hockey and walked away from millions of dollars in that trade, okay? It was a terrible trade. But look, here's the thing. You know why you have to make the trade? Because of culture. And whose culture? Jack Eichel's culture. Jack and Ryan could not exist on the same team, right? Other teams don't like each other, and they still play together, right? But Jack didn't want Ryan on the team, wound up trading him. And look, Jack Eichel and Ryan O'Reilly for the next 5 years, a 1-2 punch down the middle, you may make the playoffs next season. Now, I don't know what that means. Jeff Skinner $72 million as a substitute. No, it goes to culture. There's a winning culture in St. Louis. There's a losing culture in Buffalo. And that's why Ryan was depressed and why he said those things. And I pointed Jack Eichel. And Jack's a great player. Look, Jack went from 60-some points to 82. So now he's a point-up game player this season. But the team fell off the cliff down the stretch, right? And he's not going to – the next thing he has to do, because he got his money, he got his long-term, he got his leadership, right? Now he's got to lift his team. He's got to be the guy to lead this team to a playoff spot, even with a roster of rich guys. They look more like a 11, 12, 13, 14 team than a team on the cusp of a playoff next season. So I put this directly, not at Bottrell's feet, at Jack Eichel's feet, because some people think he's the de facto general manager anyway, right? He's getting $10 million a year, and really, other than last year, hasn't done a damn thing, to be honest with you. So I the fans could be irate at Bottrell for making that trade. You know who forced that trade? Jack Eichel. So you want to point at somebody directly for the reason that Ryan Riley's on the verge of possibly winning a Stanley Cup tonight? It's Jack Eichel, not Jason Bottrell.
Wow. Dennis Bernstein laying down some cold, hard truths for Buffalo Sabres fans in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. To that, Dennis, he's on his third head coach now. Your thoughts on Ralph Krueger as the new Buffalo Sabres head man?
I don't know. He coached the World Cup of Hockey team. I guess that's one thing. And he has coached back in the day, but he was at Southampton in the Premier League. Running the team over there. I guess he knows the sport, seems like a good guy. Here's the question. Can he connect with young players? That's all this league is about. It's where it's worth going. When you see these, the retreads aren't happening anymore, really. It may be AZ and Philadelphia with the Flyers, but maybe they're a little more turkey. It's like, can Ralph get through? And that must have been what he sold people on, because he's not going to sell on championships that he's bringing to Buffalo. He's not going to sell, he's not the coach that Tom McClellan is. Like, I don't think you compare the two, to be honest with you. The body, the track record there, he had some momentum with Edmonton, seemed to be like, but if he could connect with Jack Eichel, which is, again, this is what this conversation is kind of revolving around, if Jack likes him, connects with him, and can motivate the rest of the team, then it's a good move for him. Wouldn't have been the guy I picked, but I'm not a GM, Jason Bottrell. So I have my doubts. But if this team doesn't make the playoffs next season, guys, it's not because of the coach. It's you look at that roster and you look at the first line, there's absolutely no scoring. I mean, maybe Casey Middlestat emerges. Maybe Sam Reinhart's, a 60-point player. But there's too many maybes on this team. I don't even know who the goaltender is next season, to be honest with you. So there's too many maybes. So good luck to Ralph Krueger. I think he's a really good cat. But, would have been my choice. And he's being given a team who's not a playoff contender.
We're less than 3 weeks away from free agency and, you know, the trades and all the fun stuff. What should be an expectation here in Buffalo? Because you just spent all this money on Jeff Skinner, and I guess he had to do that to justify everything else that's going on. But as far as Ristolainen, a lot of speculation he might get traded. I mean, what should be a realistic expectation as far as movement for the Buffalo Sabres coming up July 1st, Dennis?
Well, you're right. They spent $72 million on Jeff Skinner, not going to spend, you know, $70 million on Carlson, right? So I think the one opportunity that's been brought up is possibly trading for a guy who's been traded twice already and still is in Minnesota would be Jason Zucker. A very effective player, 20-25 goal scorer, maybe hit 30 with the right team. This team desperately needs some offense. So I would look at Jason Zucker. Other than that, the playing free agency, I don't really see much. Maybe a Jordan Eberle, yeah, but Jordan had a bad regular season. Had a solid postseason. Maybe a team will be suckered into giving him, you know, $6 or $7 million a year based on that playoff run with the Islanders. The only thing, I don't see a lot of opportunities to really improve this team, guys, in free agency, because what this team needs, I like Boudin. You know, Rasmus Dahlin's going to be great. Bergoglio's always hurt. There's some opportunity there, but this team needs offense. I just don't see how they get it other than maybe trading Ristolainen for Zucker. I'm not even sure that's a move Minnesota would want to make. I don't know where they find the offense, to be honest with you. They're going to have two or three players overachieve next year, like they did in November when they fooled everybody, to get into player position, right? But I think they're 2 to 3 years away at this point in time. I can't see, because remember, look at the teams that made the wild card last year, and I don't think Buffalo's going to be in the top three, right? You had Carolina and Columbus. Now, Columbus is going to fall back, but they're close to being Carolina, and Philadelphia's probably going to be better. So, I think that the Sabres are, I was calling that are on the verge of cusp team, like 7, 8, 9, 10 in the standings. I don't see the Sabres 7, 8, 9, 10. I see them 11, 12, 13. And maybe they get a shot at the lottery. But right now, pound for pound in the East, which is a really tough conference, I don't see a path to playoffs next season for the Buffalo Sabres.
Dennis, I know you can't compare the two teams, but, there is reason to be optimistic in the NHL because the St. Louis Blues were the worst team in the league
right. Earlier
in the year in January, and here they are on the verge of winning their first Stanley Cup. What was it in St. Louis that turned things around? And you fire a head coach and things change, but what were the tells that this was going to be a special season for the St. Louis Blues?
Worse than he tells, to be honest with you, because Jordan Binnington didn't play his first game until January. And he's one of the reasons they're in the Stanley Cup final, right? And look, but let's reset here, right? I know that people keep harping on January and they were in last place, but in October, on opening night, they were supposed to contend, right? They added Bozak. They added O'Reilly, right? They had a solid defense. They had Jake Allen, who they thought was going to be the goaltender, wasn't it? This was not some last place team, really. They played like a last place team, because the coach and Craig Berube, look, when they put him in, I'm like, okay, well, good luck there. I don't think that's going to really happen. It's going to make things happen. But his message resonated with the team. They had solid defense. They found a goaltender, and they have enough scoring. They're not an offensively prowess team. They're not as talented as the Tampa Bay Lightning. But what did we learn in this playoff, guys? Like, once the game goes from game 82 to game 83, it's a very different game. Ask Tampa, ask Calgary. Ask all the first-place teams that got eliminated in the first round. I know we talk about speed and skill in this league, and I know that's where it's evolving to. But if you don't have tough physical presence and play good defense, and guess what? The Blues are here because of two reasons, defense and goaltending. Like, we've been talking about that for 10 years. So I know you got to be more skilled and quicker. But the St. Louis Blues have one 30-goal scorer on their team, Vladimir Tarasenko. Right? And David Perron had a really good season at 27 goals. And Riley had a solid season. This team isn't gifted, right? So that's what you got to look at. So why they're here is that they changed coaches because Mikeyev was not getting through this team, and that's very important. They found the goaltender, Jordan Binnington, and they know how to play playoff hockey. So it's a situation when it doesn't matter if you have 115 points like the Tampa Bay Lightning. It doesn't matter because everybody reaches zero come in game 83. Are you mentally and physically prepared to play a different type of game come game 83? The Blues were, and that's why they're here on the cusp of winning a champion.
Dennis, it's hard as a hockey fan to watch some of the Stanley Cup playoffs because it is such a different game. It's a great playoff. It's a great sport. It's a great game. But it is completely different than the way the game flows and the way the game is called during the regular season. What can be done Because people could say they want parity all they want. I think they're liars. I don't think they want parity. I think they want to see the best teams playing in the championship. And I don't know that you got that in Boston and St. Louis. You got the best teams in the postseason, but that also comes with the benefit of the doubt from referees and from a game that is completely different once it hits the postseason.
Well, I don't know about the referee. Here's what I do know, right? I think that teams have to look at, and I know this NBA uses this word all the time, load management, right? Was it great that, Kucherov had 125 points and he played every game? Maybe the last 20 games of the season, you really got to look at some analytics of what to do with your players. Do you rest them? Do you go get other veterans, right? I don't know what to do. So I get that. I understand that. But these GMs are smart guys. They know that component has to be part of it. Do you think that it's a secret that game changes once we get to game one of the first round? It doesn't. Everybody knows that. You've got to be prepared. So I think that dominating teams and getting all skilled players that are 5'10" or 5'10", it's not going to work. You need a combination. You need a factor. I talked to Braden Shen about that. Before game six, I said, look, this is trending towards skill and speed in this league. Is the physical presence going away? And he's played a much more physical game in the series. He goes, no, you need both. It's as simple as that. GMs have to build a team where maybe you don't need 8 25-goal scorers. Maybe you need four really solid defense players, right? Guys like Sammy Blay that lay a body on people. Maybe that's what it is. So it's the construction of the roster that's important for a GM. So maybe it's not the flavor of the month. Maybe what GMs need to do is maximize the talent they have on their team and understand why it needs to win a championship. And I agree with you. Look, it is different, and it's not as glamorous, and it's not 7-4 games, and the speed still isn't here, and maybe the game is called differently. But it's about winning championships, and these are teams that grind out games. They have to be able to grind out games, so you need that component of play in your roster. You just can't go in with a full-skill team. It just doesn't work in the Stanley Cup play.
Dennis Bernstein, TheFourthPeriod.com, our guest here in the sports bar. Dennis, want to also get your thoughts just in general on what's coming up after tonight, being the free agency period. We talked about the Sabres. You mentioned Carlson. What are some other storylines? Who might be some teams that are ready to spend some money? Tell us what you're looking forward to July 1st.
Well, I think the Islanders are going to be a major player. They've got a new building coming down the line. They're not exactly sure when that's going to be in place, but I think that these owners are going to be very, very aggressive. They've got to go on the same page with Lou Lamoriello, but I would suspect that they're going to go after Artemi Panarin, and he's the crown jewel here. There's some talk of Panarin and Bobrovsky going to Florida. I think the Islanders, because they're in New York City, because they play in Brooklyn, I think they're going to go hard after Artemi Panarin. So I look at that question, where does Matthew Shane wind up? Does he stay in Columbus? Does he go to maybe the Nashville and they wheel Kyle Turris out there? So there's some questions. So it's not a great free agent crop. Eric Carlson, here's the thing with Eric Carlson. Yes, he's otherworldly when he's healthy. You saw him in the playoffs, groin injuries. Before that, heel injuries. I can't, if I'm in a team, I'll go to $10 million with him for 5 years. That's what the thing with Jeff Skinner. I have no problem with $9 million a year. I got a big problem with 8 years. It was any player at this point in time. And though Jeff can be, can really be productive, and he scores 150 goals over five seasons and averages 30, then maybe the contract's worth it. I got problems with these commitments of eight and 7 years. So if I'm a team like Dallas, I look at Dallas as a great landing spot for Eric Carlson. They've got three other European defensemen. They've got Heiskanen, they've got Esa Lindell, they've got Klingberg. He will be a great fourth. But I would stop at 5 years. I mean, Eric's 29 years old. I can't see him with his injuries playing until he's 36 or 37. He very well maybe, but I can't make that commitment anymore. And I think what you see with the new CBA, it'll start coming down from 8 to 7 on long-term contract to maybe 7 and 6 or maybe even lower. So that's the issue I've got. So, and the other question is Joe Pavelski sitting out there. Everybody's been talking about Eric Carlson day in, day out about will he come back to San Jose. And everybody's ignored Joe, and Joe had, 38 goals and 64 points. I know he wants to stay in San Jose. It's a question of finances. So there's some good pieces on the market, guys, but this is not some free agent frenzy at this point in time. You're probably looking at Bobrovsky and Artemi Panarin at the top of the list, and then, two or three other players. So I think if you're going to improve a team, it's probably going to be through the trade more. So I would think that the activity we'd see at the draft in Vancouver on the 21st would be much higher than what we see on July 1 when the free agent gates open.
Dennis Bernstein, thefourthperiod.com, our ears and eyes for Game 7 in Boston tonight, the Stanley Cup Final. Before we let you go, Dennis, please let our listeners know what they can expect there at the fourth period.
Oh, yeah. So, like you mentioned, free agency's coming up. I expect a lot of trade action at the trade table, at the draft table in Vancouver on the 21st. So stay glued to us. All speculation. There's a lot of trades and free agent speculation. Thefourthperiod.com is the place to go. And you can also follow me on Twitter at DennisTFP.
Yeah, follow him tonight for insight on Game 7. Dennis, let's hope it's a good one tonight. We always appreciate your time. Thanks so much, man.
Danger Patagula, thanks for having me on the sports board. I appreciate it.
You're the best. Dennis Bernstein, thefourthperiod.com. Must read for hockey fans. Dennis does it better than anybody else. Love having him on.
You know why I love it? Because he will give you takes that will stop you dead in your tracks. Ryan O'Reilly putting the blame at Jack Eichel's feet. That's the storyline we got to dive into more,
well, of
right?
Of course. Well, that's... I don't want to say that people are afraid to say that.
They're afraid to say that.
But they're afraid to say that.
They're afraid to say that.
They're afraid to say that. How dare you say that about our captain? Well, that's the guy that you're invested in. And if the two can't coexist, then the guy that you're invested in is the guy that will stay, and you will cater to his needs, even if it means getting rid of a competent second-line center. And that's what they did. That's what they did. And we think it. We don't always say it. But there's enough there where people would be like, and you heard a little bit more of it here as the season went on this year. Is Jack the problem? Well, he's not the problem, but he's a problem.
Wow. You've had this locker room issue, finger quotes, culture issue. You start looking at the constants. He's been a constant. Sure, he's young. He's getting paid.
If you miss Dennis Bernstein, we'll have that for you on demand shortly. On the radio.com app, search the sports bar, and all of our highlights are right there for you on demand. I'll drink to that is on the way next in the sports bar. Takes. I've got some takes. Gene has some takes.
The Rochester Community and Youth Sport Complex. It will change our lives, Mike Danger. It will be awesome. The Rochester Dome. I mean, what have we been talking about here?
I've always wanted a dome to change my life. I mean, what was our life like before a dome was erected? Change my life, lovely Warren. Mm-hmm. Change it. Can't wait. And now that the emotion of the Kevin Durant injury is kind of died down a little bit, let's just kind of look at this through a different lens for everybody that wants mm-hmm. to assign blame as to why this happened. I also have a non-sports take. It's not going to be a trendy. I'm going to say something that's, I think it's an unpopular opinion. I'm going to share an unpopular opinion. But I can't get behind this movement. I cannot. It's disturbing. I'll drink to that as on the way. And then, calling into the show, scheduled to join us right around 425, 430. Radio.com Sports NFL Ooh. Insider, the playmaker, Michael Irvin, joining us in the sports bar this afternoon. Can't wait to get him on. That's all on the way. Stay in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports League, ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.